Hearing stories are boring.
Now I want that in a badge ribbon. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, Miranda Richardson returns to talk with us about the latest news in the trans community, and she also gets an opportunity to answer our new 5 questions. Woo!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Tim Wick.
Hey, hey.
And today we have a very special returning guest. We are joined once again by our auction winner again, Miranda.
Hi.
Yay. At Mandy Dax on Twitter.
Yep.
And thank you for the donation.
Yes.
You're welcome. Yay.
And
it was smaller than last year. I was expecting.
No, I was disappointed.
Out.
Not in you, but in everybody else.
We are.
In yourself.
I was like, I'll put it up there to get it started.
Sure.
And nobody else bid.
I'm glad for it because I like you. And so Miranda's here. This is our first recording at Convergence. We're recording in the luxurious Short Tower hotel room that Tim has.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Yeah,
the North Tower oligarchy apartment.
Yeah. We're up where the...
This is what you get for founding the convention. I'm just
not if you're Jeremy Stomberg.
Not if you're Jeremy Stomberg. She's not in the Short Tower.
Jeremy Stomberg doesn't get shit. I think that's really important.
Yeah. Anyway, so we want to talk... We apologize because I swear to God, Miranda, we're not just bringing you out here and being like, you should talk about trans stuff because you're trans. But there's been a lot going on in the world of transgender people and society and acceptance.
Media.
We want to talk about it.
It's huge. So.
Yeah.
It's been a big year.
It's been huge. I think when I came on last year, Laverne Cox had been on the cover of Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if anyone saw it, but this is a couple of weeks ago, but John Oliver did that excellent piece on Last Week Tonight.
Yes.
It was great.
Really good.
Yes.
His show is stellar.
He didn't fuck up any pronouns. He didn't dead name anyone.
Right.
Anything like that. And I thought it was fantastic.
Not only that, but he brought to bear the idea of, like, it's none of your fucking business.
Yeah.
Like, what someone's genitals are or what they do with them. Like, you wouldn't, and he did a great analogy where he's like, unless you would ask, you know, like, good day, Queen Elizabeth. Like, you know, like and when you pee, like, do you spread your labia or whatever? And it's like, if you wouldn't ask a non-trans person about it, it's not okay to ask a trans person.
How's the royal pussy?
Yeah. Yes.
We are fine.
Our clitoris is quite lovely.
You said dead name, I've never heard that term before, but I immediately understand what it means. That's interesting. I'd never heard that term before.
It means to use someone's name before they change their
name. No,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of times it's used because somebody does it intentionally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody knows somebody from before they started transitioning, then a lot of times it happens by accident. Same thing with pronouns, because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you've called somebody, you know, Roxanne and she for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult to go with, you know, the Rock and...
It can be done maliciously.
And I think it just... There's this old adage that a dog knows the difference between getting kicked and tripped over.
Yeah.
And and that is, I think, very... If you know the difference between someone kicking you and just accidentally tripping over your pronoun.
Yeah.
And that's... When Nick's brother came out, I accidentally a couple times said she.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was... Because his brother had been a very... butch lesbian, and I wanted to make an effort to make sure that Jamie, you know, knew that I recognized that, you know, if that was your identity. And so I had always been like, hey, lady and stuff. And so it was a very conscious switch, and I felt bad every time I tripped. But I think, again,
our friend Andy, I mean, I knew Andy as a man before I knew Andy as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I still, like, I usually won't get the pronoun wrong, but often I'll find myself stopping and going, all right, what pronoun am I using?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think it is important.
Mm-hmm. It is,
As opposed to Miranda, I've known you as a woman the entire
always.
Time I've known you. So I don't trip over it.
Yeah.
And there's that, no, you don't do it maliciously, but you still feel bad because you want to identify, if you have a I don't want to say soul, if you have a conscience,
yeah.
And you care about people, then you want to get it right.
A shred of humanity.
Yeah. If you're not Mike fucking Huckabee, but...
Jesus man.
Christ. Well, my name turned 18 this year, so I...
Yeah.
Hey.
So I get fuck two your votes name. Now.
I'm sorry.
Take pictures.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Your name can't drink. Just remember.
So I
3 years before you can drink.
I feel, and so it's eight. I mean, I feel that there's been growing acceptance in society, and not like overwhelming acceptance, but growing acceptance. Right. And I've noticed. I mean, I've had more friends and friends' children coming out trans and being it not being to the point where now when it happens, I'm like, all right,
yeah,
and not like, oh wow. It doesn't surprise me even anymore. I'm just like, cool.
Like, okay, just this week, the Girl Scouts of Western Washington got $100,000 donation from a donor who said, if you cannot guarantee that this money won't be used to support, you know, trans
girls,
children,
yeah,
then I will want my money back. And they're like, well, you can have your money back because Girl Scouts are for all girls.
Yep.
And then... so this got caught up on social media, and everyone's like, this is amazing that they did this. It's wonderful. And Colorado's Girl Scouts did this a couple years ago when they accepted a seven-year-old who identified as a girl to come and be a Girl Scout. You know, over objections of everyone,
of
basically.
Course. Except for the girls and the children who are probably like,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. They're like, whatever, they're seven, they don't give
we're
a
seven.
Shit.
We're seven.
So, like earlier, like, I think, starting like 2 days ago, they decided, well, let's make up that money. Let's put up a GoFundMe or whatever, Indiegogo, something, something. And they said, let's raise $100,000 to replace the $100,000 we just turned down.
I'll show
and
them.
They
yeah.
already have over $250,000.
That's yeah. nice. So
goddamn
great.
Right.
It is so yeah. heartwarming.
So
I love that. You know, I think what I've been noticing is, obviously, as we're recording this, the Supreme Court just recently ruled that
fuck yeah!
The same-sex marriage must be allowed. Must be allowed in all states. And, of course, now a bunch of states are trying to say that they're going to just get out of the marriage business because they don't
want
to. Yeah,
fine.
Whatever, fuck you. It's like
fuck you, whatever.
Assholes. But I think
good luck with that.
Because homosexuality has reached the point where, as a society, we pretty much accepted it, that we can move on to other...
Yeah.
Other,
yeah.
What do I want to say? Frontiers.
Yeah.
And I think that means that we've kind of gotten through the LG part of LGBT.
Yeah.
And it's like now we need to get on to the to the BT.
Yeah. I don't know if we're ever gonna get to the B. That's something interesting.
Actually, I've seen quite a bit like in the last few weeks about bisexuality, and I'm bisexual, and like last year at Convergence, I sort of hooked up with a guy, and then...
That was a high five.
Yeah.
I missed.
One of us.
Yeah.
You know you're a nerd, but you can't make the high five hit.
Yeah.
But anyway, but he was sick, so we didn't, like, really hook up, but, like...
Yeah.
She said sick, not six.
Yeah.
Not
sick.
Sick.
Ill.
As in ill. Okay, sorry, go on.
Anyway... Yeah, so anyway, later, I'm like, I went to my doctor because I hadn't been on hormones forever. And then I'm like, well, you know, I want to be with this guy and then, you know, help me with that. So I got back on hormones. I was on Premarin because that's what I had been on before. And then I started looking it up because, like, it's really expensive. It's super expensive because it's a name brand drug. And then I started looking things up and, like, it has bad uptake. It's, you know, it's just not a very good hormone replacement. And like, you should probably try estradiol. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I looked it up. I'm like, holy shit, that's like $7 a month.
Sweet.
That's it.
One of the other rulings that's come down is that they have to cover that health insurance has to cover transgender health services.
Right.
Yeah.
For certain
federal
employees. Yeah,
for federal employees, which is
it's
still huge.
It's a start.
Yeah.
No, actually, I kind of wanted to talk about this because I'm seeking facial surgery. I know a lot of people say, oh, why do you need that? Because it's like. They don't see it the way I see
it. Sure, you see it.
They don't have to live behind my face.
It's not for you, not them.
It's a body image.
Yeah,
thing.
Sure.
Why would
my entire dysphoria thing is all about.
Sure.
So, anyway, working in a Catholic hospital in Iowa, Iowa doesn't have any They don't have a law or a case law that says that they have to cover it.
Okay.
And my policy actually says it excludes under mental health sexual identity disorder, which it's not called.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that's from DSM-4.
Yeah.
Right.
And then also under surgery, the only thing that's not covered under surgery is sex change or gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, cosmetic surgery is done separately, but
right.
Reconstructive surgery, which a lot of the facial surgeons consider it, is covered. So I put it in under that, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's why I went to Boston.
That's all it is. It's so easy to get a plastic surgeon to agree that you just don't like your face for whatever reason. That's the thing. That's their whole business.
Yeah.
That's their job.
Yeah. Well, we had a friend who got, and she's not trans, but she has always hated her chin.
Mm-hmm.
She had a very weak chin.
Yeah.
And she got a chin implant.
Sure.
And she had wanted it for years and years and years
and then
went and got it. And they don't need to know.
Right.
You're a woman and you would like facial reconstruction surgery because you want to look different. That women do that all the time.
Well, I went out to Boston and met with the doctor, and he actually kind of specializes in trans women.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to get my brow reduced just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, lift my eyebrows and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. Maybe a nose job and something to do with my
it's gonna
neck.
Be so cool.
Awesome. It would be cool. I've seen videos on YouTube of people who've gone through this thing, and most of them have had their actual jaw
shaved down,
because you know, square jaw, but I don't have
mm-hmm.
that, so I'm not so worried about it. But oh my god, the recovery videos are just crazy.
It's a lot.
You have this drain and you're completely bruised and you're covered in bandages and you have to wear a face bra for 2 months.
They used to have this show. The Swan.
I watched that
season. It was so bad. It was it was very compelling, but what it was women, and it was 12 women, and they were competing, and they narrowed it. That was a beauty pageant that they narrowed down to the last three or something, and then they all got massive amounts of reconstructive head to toe plastic surgery, lipo, boob jobs, whole face being shaved, nose broken, reassessed. I mean, everything you can think of, head to toe,
and then they
calf
made them
implants.
Work out.
Then they made them work out,
and they gave them
diet stuff.
What do you call it?
Hair and makeup and
refined.
Oh yes,
yeah.
yes. Etiquette lessons.
Etiquette
so
lessons.
Basically, it'd be if I went away for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then when I came back, I looked like a totally different woman. And it was so weird.
Bizarre.
But I was so jealous the whole time I was watching.
I bet.
Yeah, sure.
I bet.
Like, uh huh.
Yeah,
they picked the wrong people to have as competitors.
yeah.
Right.
If they picked a bunch of transgender women, everybody would have been like, "This is great."
Yeah.
Because
I think I don't remember what channel it was. I never saw it, but Laverne Cox and Jamie Clayton and the third person, I can't think of her name, they actually did that sort of thing.
Oh.
So basically it was these trans women were starting their transitions.
Sure.
And they kind of did it as a reality show.
Huh.
I think that
I didn't get a chance to see it, but I just learned about it.
I like
that.
Well,
that's kind of what they're doing with Caitlyn Jenner is a reality show of her transition. And, and how,
interesting.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, my only issue with Caitlyn Jenner is not that she's trans, but that I thought she was obnoxious before.
Yeah.
She came out as trans.
Yeah.
So I still think she's obnoxious.
Or she's still a Republican.
Yeah, weird.
How do you reconcile that? How are you not in internal conflict?
When people say, "Oh, I'm a Republican for financial reasons or whatever."
Yeah.
Or economic. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what?
That's great. One of the people who's trying to become president under the party you identify with just makes a really insensitive joke.
Hates you.
Yeah.
Hates what you are and thinks you're a monster.
And frankly, most of them do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the people that are running for president as a member of your party are saying awful things about gays and lesbians.
If that's what they'll say in public, what are they saying in private?
Yeah.
Right.
And they're saying awful things about gays and lesbians, and probably if they bothered to spend any time talking about it, would say worse things about transgender.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I saw that on the John Oliver show. This trans boy, this trans teenage boy comes to, say, now you know a trans person.
You know me, like, I'm Henry.
Oh, you're so brave.
Oh, Henry, we're so proud
of you. We're so proud of you. And then they all voted against him like a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, to make him go, to make him pee in a bathroom like
If you're going to vote against him, then don't even bother to tell him he's brave because fuck you, you're a hypocrite.
You know what? Yeah. What's super funny is when single serving bathrooms are gendered, I often will go into the men's one just because it bothers me. And it's like, fuck you, I pee where I want. I'm not going to, like, this is a single person's bathroom. Just like the women's is locked. Yeah. I'm going in the fucking men's room. It doesn't matter. Only I can be in here.
I think the last time I was in a men's room is because the women's room was out of order.
Exactly.
And it was exactly that sort of situation.
Yep.
It's like, it should matter with single
serving. Why do we even have that?
Yeah.
The looks you get, though. I've gotten looks. Head to toe looks when I walked out of the men's bathroom.
Like, I think what I'd like to explain to somebody is, you know, and again, there's no reason for it, and yet I'm uncomfortable walking into a women's room because I'm not a woman.
Right.
And then with a transgender person, you're like, well, you shouldn't go into the woman's room because you were born, you were identified as a man at birth, and therefore it makes me uncomfortable when you go into that. But it's like, how do you think they feel? How do you think that somebody who is a transgender woman feels when she walks into a men's room? The same way you feel when you walk into a restroom that's not identified as the restroom you're supposed to use.
And what I really liked is the thing that John Oliver said, which was the reason that the sign on the bathroom door is a stereotypical drawing of a woman in clothes or a man in clothes is because it's what you look like on the outside. It's not, we don't have a picture of a penis and a picture of a uterus with vagina on the door because you're supposed to go based on genitals. It's based on like outward and appearance and what you feel like and where you think you belong. And
I'm serious. Yeah. Just about everything John Oliver has done on that show.
He's brilliant.
Has been solid.
He and his writers are amazing.
We love you, John Oliver.
That one was like extra double plus solid.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've said that, you know, when Stephen Colbert had the Colbert Report, it was, he would throw the weight of his show and Comedy Central into these issues and into things and form his own pack and stuff like that. And I feel like John Oliver's show is that times HBO. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got that big dick HBO money that he can swing around and, like they...
And
they
say whatever he wants because he doesn't have to worry about sponsors.
Like airing that five-minute thing in the... I can't remember the South American country, but on their television show in response.
Uruguay.
Just the stuff that they've done on that show has been... I think should make Stephen Colbert jealous because that's...
Sure.
Efficient use of power, leverage.
Real quick before we get to five questions, I want to say something I've noticed that I really love is that younger kids, like younger than 21, really, they have really no, I'm not going to say no issue, but it seems much more accepting of concepts of gender fluidity, of us not having binary gender, of gender being something that you feel. Mm-hmm. And like the kids I see, especially running around Convergence, I see a lot more androgyny. I see a lot more like polyamory or just like we're all just hanging out like oh of course that's his boyfriend, who cares, you know, like and things. And it makes me so heartened for the future if to them they're growing up in a world where a lot of these kids may never remember gay marriage being illegal and they're gonna grow up and being like, yeah, my parents had lots of trans friends, I don't see why. I used to go to this convention and it was, you know, men who were straight were wearing Rocky corsets, you know, they were it was never deviant, it was just what we were.
I mean, certainly that's one of the things that I really appreciate about the fan communities. I feel like the fan community has always been early adopters for this kind of thing.
We're weird. We've always been outcasts.
Yeah, and so somebody who's gay or transgender or poly or any of those things that are not normal to people who aren't part of the fan community, even though they are really ridiculously normal.
Being a geek used to be deviant too. That's the thing. Yeah, like, exactly. All the stuff we used to do didn't used to be cool.
And that's why I hate that
geek chic.
The Minneapolis, the Twin Cities, like geek community. The name used to be Misfits.
Yeah.
And they changed it to GPS, the Geek Partnership Society. Yeah. Misfits is such a better name because it's like...
Thank you very much.
It is.
It's thank like, you very much.
Yeah.
Underdogs.
What does it stand for?
Minneapolis, the Minnesota Society...
like society for science fiction, like fan. Yeah,
got it. Misfits, so
yeah,
but it doesn't
so
matter
great,
because
yeah.
it was a
Minnesota Society for Interest in Science Fiction and Fantasy. It wasn't like a perfect acronym.
Right.
We grabbed initials from within the word.
But
but
I think it fits that spirit better than GPS does because. Oh. Nerds are ahead of that.
It's true.
Nerds hate bullies, except for when they are arguing about subjective things.
Yeah. I'll bully your shit over whether Star Wars is better than Star Trek, but it's totally okay that you're
gay.
And
you'll be wrong, but...
Before we get to five questions, I wanted to tell you one last thing. The funniest thing that's happened to me on Facebook, like, ever. I saw somebody had posted something, and like PBS is doing this mini documentary series on trans kids.
Yeah.
And there was this one about this girl, and she's like 13 or something, and so she went on androgen blockers, and she started hormones, and she was talking about all that sort of stuff, and I did the stupid thing, and it was really good. The thing I went the stupid thing and like went
read the comments.
Oh, but a lot of them were really good. They're like, oh, she's so brave. And,
yeah.
Oh, she looks nice, and oh, she, you know, this is a fantastic series. Mm-hmm. Thank you, PBS. And then I get down to one, and it's this woman. Her name is Judy.
Ugh.
And
already.
No offense, Judy, except for the one that I'm talking about.
Yeah, because fuck
she
that,
says,
dude.
If this kid was born a boy, then he's a boy. And I said, now come on, Judy. Everyone knows that you weren't born a cunt. But that doesn't mean I'm going to but rob you of that identifier.
You clearly identify as a cunt, Judy, so we're going to call you a cunt.
That's wonderful. I love that.
And then the next day, I got a notification that said she liked my comments.
What?
It was hilarious.
So she's a dumb cunt, too.
Yeah. Or was she trying to be sarcastic?
No, I don't know,
maybe,
man.
She, like...
So the one I will say real quick, I read the comments on two posts about the gay marriage ruling.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. The first 25 comments before you had to click show more were all supportive.
That's awesome.
And they were a mix of religious and not religious, gay and not gay.
Oh,
and I was like, and I got all the way down to where it was like, show more comments. I'm like, no, I'm going to call this good. Good good job, internet. I'm proud of you today.
Chalking this up as a win.
Well, that is an example of how society is becoming much more accepting.
Yep. Yep.
There are absolutely people who are not accepting. And right now they're just bitching about how they can't be not accepting.
They're just
without people.
They're making YouTube videos where they're crying.
I think clearly, I think representation in media matters.
Yeah.
Because I think that I don't want to minimize anyone's activism or individual efforts or anything like that. But I think that absolutely the representation in television, media, Netflix, whatever, like even in news stories,
it makes a huge difference.
There's been a really great increase in that in the past year or two, and I think some of the progress is attributable to that.
I know you guys haven't watched The Flash all the way through, but actually one of the things, I mean, I
we're
love
almost
The
caught
Flash.
Up on Arrow.
I love The Flash, but one of the things that I really enjoy about it is the captain of the police in The Flash is gay. And it's never like anybody says, that dude's gay.
Yeah.
Just at one point, he mentions his boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And at another point, one of the plot elements is him and his boyfriend are getting ready to get married. And it's never
awesome.
Like, hey, this character's gay, everybody, check him out. It's just like... part of this character's identity is that he's gay.
In Sense8, there is a trans woman that I didn't know was trans until it became a plot point. And it was like her mother's saying like Michael, and I'm like, oh shit! And I was like, wow, like that's, I didn't even, because I didn't care. So I wasn't like, which one of these women used to be a, who was born male? Oh, I'm going to figure it out. Like,
I was like,
it's great.
Oh, her mom reminds me so much of my mom.
Yeah.
Her story is, there's
amazing.
Like, four or five episodes of her that are just fucking terrifying.
Definitely see that.
And I don't want to talk. We'll talk about that in another episode.
Yes, and written by the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And JMS Straczynski is
I only hope
great because the Wachowskis owed us a lot for Jupiter Ascending.
They
really needed to make up for Jupiter Ascending.
Boy, howdy.
I just hope that her experiences weren't mirroring Lana's experiences because I hope Lana didn't have to go through that. Because it looks like her brother's always been super supportive. Yeah. So.
I think Nomi is everything Switch wasn't in The Matrix.
That's a good call. Tim, you got to watch this show.
I know. We'll do an episode about it.
So Miranda's been here before.
Yeah.
So Miranda has five questions
for
us.
She's done this
thing. Well, I asked you five questions last time.
Did you?
Yeah, because she sent in her...
That's right. Oh, that's right. So we have to do our...
We can ask our new five questions.
Hot
damn.
Pop our new question, Jerry.
We did not give you any chance to prepare for this.
No, I didn't.
That's all right.
There's one that may be a challenge.
So as you guys know...
So I'll edit it out if you got to look it up.
So as you guys know, we have been running low on five answers. Now, don't worry. If you've sent in your five answers up to now, we will still read them. We're not going to skip you. You're still going to get your glorious 5 seconds in the sun. But... We have a whole new five questions. It's our third anniversary.
Debuting here.
We are debuting. So Miranda,
I'm so excited.
It's exciting. So Nick, why don't you start us off with question one?
So what's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
I don't see it very often come on, but like I watched The Goonies when I was a kid.
Sure.
Like literally hundreds of times. don't tell the FCC, but we copied it.
What?
On VHS.
Oh my gosh.
And my sister and I wore out the tape, so we had to rent it again so we could copy it again. Literally.
That's amazing.
Booty traps and mouth talking Spanish.
Sure.
If you don't get this right, we'll all be flat.
Terrible puns.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's exactly what this question's about. It's like one of those movies that you're just like, no, if you're flipping channels and the movie's on, you're like,
Goonies.
I'm going to watch this. Or if you're surfing through Netflix, what am I going to watch tonight? And you see that movie.
For a lot of people, your stop and watch is a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I have it on DVD, but I don't have
a DVD player.
It's
not the same. Well, it's not the same.
I can put it in my computer, but...
There's a difference between being like, I'm going to go watch this, and, oh, it's on?
Yeah.
It's just like, there's songs I have
on
my...
It's on and it's halfway through and I don't care.
It's like when a song comes on the radio, I wouldn't ever download it, or even if I have it, I'm not going to go listen to it right now, but I'm so excited because it's on the radio. It's the moment.
Well, actually, hockey is kind of like that.
Yeah.
All right, so question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
Let's see. I have a My Little Pony Fluttershy from Build-A-Bear.
Oh, I love those.
She's the only one I got. She's sort of my spirit animal.
I was going to say, I can see her. I can see Fluttershy being your favorite.
Actually, I'm going to dress up either tomorrow or Saturday as Fluttershy. So I have my angel bunny right over here.
Cute.
Fluttershy. Bah. Yay. Can you scream? Yay. All right, question three. Which supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real? And it can be like a historical or a fictional one.
Thor.
Thor.
Chris Hemsworth Thor. And he can come rainbow bridge me anytime.
Yeah.
A new euphemism. Yeah.
That sounds like I'm going to die. Like, that's what you say when pets die.
I think that might technically be a three-way because Heimdall has to be there.
Yeah,
so
that's a Bifrost.
Well, okay.
Thor is a good answer.
Can it be Black Heimdall? I got a deal.
Oh, my God.
Question number four so say religion is gone. The biggest problem that humanity now faces?
We'll have to replace a lot of our senators and a lot of our world leaders, unfortunately.
We're
going to have a power vacuum. I think
that's
probably the biggest immediate problem.
And just making sure it's not filled with assholes, even though they're irreligious assholes.
Yeah, think of all the people that only do what the Pope says, and now who are they going to listen to? Who are they going to turn to?
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, what if all those people say, well, if I'm an atheist, I'll go rape and kill everyone.
Except,
like,
let's
holy
be,
shit, keep believing in God. What?
except, you know, let's be fair. There are people who listen to the Pope, and then people who are Catholic who don't listen to the Pope.
There's a lot of
people like, oh, the Pope should be talking about global warming. He's not a scientist.
Yeah,
I'm not as worried about
actually. The Pope is a scientist.
Actually, he is.
Like the Pope's stance, like the Catholic Church's stance on gay marriage is against it.
Yeah,
but like there's a Pew survey, like, in 2007, and, like, 75% of Catholics thought that gay marriage was just
my
wrong.
Mom is a practicing Catholic, has always been a supporter of St.
I don't get it. I don't get it. That's like being a part of a monarchy and being like, nope, don't recognize the king. Don't do it.
She and I have had conversations about it, and all I'm going to say right now at this point in this podcast is it's complicated.
Yeah. Doesn't that just make you an Episcopalian? I mean, yeah. Anyway.
It's my turn. Yes, question number 5. What is your favorite quote?
Ooh.
If you need to Google it, we can edit out Google time.
I know this is kind of I don't know where this came from. It's kind of semi-religious, maybe. But if you give a man a fish, then he eats for a day. And if you teach a man to fish, then he eats for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a biblical origin.
It might be a proverb. It might be
the fish in it.
It might be an origin from like Chinese proverbs and things too. Like,
I did see a version of this on a t-shirt. It said, give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Give a man a... teach a man to fish, then he has to buy rods and
boats. My favorite variation on that is build a man a fire and he'll be warm for the night. Set a man on fire and he'll be warm for the rest of his life.
On that psychopathic and sociopathic note, Miranda, it was wonderful to have you on our show again. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Keep bidding on chances to be on our podcast. Maybe we'll give you a freebie.
I was just going to say, I think maybe we can just have her on the podcast.
Buy two, get one.
That's just insane.
I'll pick up a hobby. So
we have been Geeks Without God. We are at Convergence. This is long after Convergence, though. So
yeah.
Comment on here and tell us what you are most excited about with the burgeoning trans acceptance and all the great news in the trans community. Tell us your story, trans or not. We want to hear positive things. If you say negative things, I am going to ridicule you personally on our webpage. And believe me, you don't want that because I can get really mean. So
yes, you can.
Yeah. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, rate us on iTunes, all that jazz. You just heard our new 5 questions. If you want to send in your answers to our new 5 questions, send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. And thanks. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Melissa Kershaw for our totally sweet logo.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks. God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts on geekswithoutgod.com and be sure to follow us on Twitter @geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I need to move.